Are you ready, Roxy? Are you still here?
Yes, Brock.
All right, you're ready to present your thesis.
Well, it's been an amazing odyssey.
Yes.
Since March. And I was telling you, we have to talk about different archetypes that have been there forever.
Yeah.
And the way we are really understanding what they were about is thanks to your metanoias, to your repentance.
By repentance, by tracing back, yes. A review.
Yes. One of these archetypes is the music of the spheres that Pythagoras claimed he could listen to this music. And finally, on September 14, 2015, at 9:30 Greenwich time, we heard a C that was produced by two black holes collapsing.
Yeah.
And that was September 2015. But they announced this in February 2016 because they wanted to be sure that this recording they made was accurate, that they managed to perceive a temporary change in the geometry of the universe, and that's a gravitational wave. And when this was made public, I asked something about frequencies, and Ion told me about the gravitational waves. But because it was something new I never heard about, I could not really understand why I am. He told me, are you going to let that go away? Mm. And I was like, I don't know if that was a pun by Ion, gravitational waves, like he sometimes...
Yeah.
This was a discovery. It was an hypothesis made by a woman called Vera Rubin, and nobody believed her theories when she made this in the 60s. And she predicted all this with mathematical algorithms. She said the galaxy is turning, the vortex, and in the center of the galaxy is something that we don't really know what it is, but we call black matter. And nobody really believed what she was saying. So, in a way, we're validating Vera Rubin and her discoveries. Because she calculated the velocity of rotations of the eccentric planets in our galaxy,
mm-hmm.
and she wondered why didn't these planets just were ejected with the centrifugal force.
Centrifugal, yeah.
So she made these mathematical calculations and. She said there must be something which is so dense that is keeping all these things in the galaxy, which we call black matter.
Mm.
And it's amazing that among all the millions of events happening, thanks to the algorithms that were developed by a Russian, I don't remember his name, but he made a program, and they detected this change in the geometry of the universe. So that means there is no time. And what Ion is saying, that we can go back and forth and all these things about parallel world, it really changed our whole conception of the universe. It really has amazing implications to what is going to be developed.
Right. So what did she say in her theory in the 60s that shows we have no time, or the collapse of two black holes? What did she say about that?
No, she was talking about the gravitational force that keeps everything in the galaxy.
Mm.
And, for example, Einstein never believed there were black holes. But black holes had to exist in order for many things to be what we call logical.
Mm.
And this change in the geometry of the universe is just produced by cataclysmic events of really big dimensions, like two black holes colliding. And this collision took place like 1,300,000 years ago, something like really.
Yeah.
And it's just a few seconds that this note lasted.
Right.
And it's like, how can we perceive a note that is so soft in the middle of all this chaos?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really amazing because the thing is they developed something called LIGO. And a program called Coherent Wave Burst. And it's like this program takes dictation from the universe. Mm-hmm. Like it translates the envelopes of an event into algorithms. And then these algorithms are translated into sound by Dolby Stereo.
By what?
So, the Dolby Stereo.
It's a person?
No, it's the Dolby, the technique you...
Oh, Dolby Stereo. Dolby.
All your movies are in Dolby Stereo.
Right.
And, yes, all sounds can be digitalized, like algorithms.
Yeah.
And then translated into something we can hear. And for me, this is really amazing. Like, we can hear something that happened millions of years ago. It's only a few seconds.
And what do they hear? It's a collision?
Yes, they hear the note C.
Mm.
And it's only a few seconds long. But in order to this to happen, it really has to be something like big that mm-hmm. distorts this geometry. Because Einstein said everything in the universe is geometry, and space-time can be somehow bent, but this was not proven until the gravitational waves prove that this geometry can really be distorted. And this is the big note, like Frank Zappa was always talking about some big notes. And there was always this archetype of the music of the spheres. And before the gravitational waves, all the things we knew about the universe were translations of electromagnetic waves, like gamma rays, infrared, and radiation. But these are not acoustic, but gravitational. But it's amazing that we can translate this information into something we can listen to.
All right.
And yes, for me, I see this as the big note concept.
Yeah.
That Zappa was talking about, and in the Renaissance, there were many people explaining God with these different mathematical proportions. Formals, because they said the number and the letters were created by this higher intelligence, and that was the way we will communicate with this thing that is creating the universe and everything we see, like Leonardo, for example, was really into the pi, the golden mean.
Yeah.
And they also discovered the Fibonacci series. And they thought there was an intelligence in nature that could only be described as God.
Mm.
And... everything in the universe is vibration and frequency, and they thought, in a way, this intelligence communicates with frequency.
Okay. So the collapse of the black holes showed that there's no time, and there's a sound accompaniment to the no time phenomenon.
No, like this gravitational wave is translated into algorithms, and these algorithms are translated into sound.
Okay.
Because not everything can be translated into visuals.
Mm.
But...
Okay.
It's like like the hidden ground.
Right. So how does this relate to the walk from darkness to light, to Twin Peaks, those things?
Well, because you always talk about this concept of the satellite conductor.
Yes.
And the fact that man has expanded himself to have the technologies to detect, for example, the collision of two black holes that only lasted a few seconds, millions of years ago.
Yeah.
Is this programming that you called the new magic? And this was a big theme during the Renaissance. People like Giordano Bruno and Campanella and Agrippa were explaining this concept you have of the solar conductor as the magician. And they saw magic as science, and they thought all these came from Hermes Trismegistus. And Giordano Bruno, who was a Dominican, well, they knew that many of these archetypes came from Egypt and the Hermetica was retrieved, the work of Hermes Trismegistus, and people in the monarchy and in religious orders knew the real meaning of many of these religious archetypes were from Kabbalah, alchemy, pagan religions, but mostly Egyptian. And they tried to make a reformation, and they thought the solution to the war of religions that was going on in Europe was to go back to the Egyptian religion. And Giordano Bruno developed the concept of the solar city, and he thought the French monarchy were the ones that were going to make this reformation. And if you know the ideas of Giordano Bruno, then it's very clear all these things that then Louis XIV, the Sun King, was doing.
Came from Pythagoras?
No, Giordano Bruno.
Oh, okay. Did he study
Giordano
Pythagoras?
Bruno... Sorry?
Did he study Pythagoras? Is it known?
Yes, I suppose
everybody
who was into Hermeticism knew about Pythagoras.
Right, right.
But he was a big defender of Copernicus and all the new
astronomy
about the universe and the fact that the Earth is not the center of the universe, but it turns around the sun.
So, so then Bruno gets retrieved by Vico, or who picks up on Vico? I mean on Bruno, besides James Joyce.
Actually, Richelieu and Catherine de' Medici.
Oh yeah,
were the ones that somehow understood and appreciated what he was trying to do. And all these people were into what we now call magic.
Yeah.
But they thought it was natural science. And in Kabbalah and alchemy, it's very clearly said that there are power worlds, that there are many types of entities that we can communicate with, that, for example, and this was another thing Bruno said, Moses and Jesus were magicians. And all these people engage in astronomy and making talismans and magic. That was people in the church and people in the monarchy. And until now, until the present day, all these ideas that were then developed by the Masons and the Rosicrucians and other groups that actually based on many of the ideas of Giordano Bruno.
Yeah.
Are still being like followed. Like you told me, Ion said most of the people in industry and commerce all had their astronomers and mediums.
Yeah, yeah.
All presidents. And
did Giordano Bruno use mediums? They got anything on that?
Well, I suppose, like you said in the video we made from is the cliché archetype
yeah.
one, that he was a parallel world.
Right. Right. He had his own mediumship.
Because he had so many insights. He was really modern in many ways. Many things of the things he were saying could not be understood at the time. And
right.
There is a story that one of his messines, like an aristocrat, asked him to explain something to him. And he said, I cannot explain it because I don't know what you know. And even if I explain you, I know you're not going to understand. So that's what Dion said, according to where we were.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what they...
But he couldn't figure out.
Cultivating.
He couldn't figure out where they were, or where they were was nowhere near what he could tell them. He understood that. Where they were at, they had no way of understanding, because he does talk about almost extraterrestrial life and infinite universes, and people were just trying to get a handle on the fact there was a universe that Earth was not the center of. That was the big challenge.
Yes, and they were really going beyond that, because the Kabbalists always said the patriarchs, the prophets, came from other worlds and had contact with people coming from other worlds and things like that.
The Kabbalah says that.
Yeah. Like Abraham came from another world and he will get information from people coming from other worlds.
Did you
or
say,
Solomon will contact all types of entities.
Right, did you say Abraham? Abraham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what literature says that Solomon contacted other worlds? Is that in the Kabbalah?
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
I see. So the statements in the Kabbalah...
But, I think it's also in the Bible. It's known that he had this ring and these seals, and he could communicate, had like a lot of knowing because of this. He could engage spirits and demons and angels and all types of entities. He was the wisest.
Right. Okay, so we need to, what do you see in Twin Peaks that relates to this?
Well, since March, I've been seeing a lot the archetype of this walk, the initiation that men took from the darkness into the light.
Fire walk with me?
Yes, it's like a fire walk.
Yeah.
Last month, I was really impressed that the president of France did this initiation in front of the Pyramid of the Louvre.
Yeah.
He did a walk from the darkness to the light.
And it is an absurdly long walk. I've seen the footage. Everybody is waiting at the other end, and he walks for like 10 minutes. It's, it's not a short procession.
Yes, and before him, it was everywhere in the news that he was imitating Mitterrand, and Mitterrand did a walk from a cemetery, the Pantheon.
Yeah.
That's the cemetery of the most important people in the history of France.
That's the one we were in? Pierre Lachey?
No, it's the one where Napoleon and Victor Hugo.
Oh, okay.
It's a big monument. We didn't want to
do that.
We were doing many things every day, but we could not do everything.
So he walks through the street?
No, Mitterrand also did this initiation walk from the darkness to the light in the Pantheon. He went into the womb of the earth to get in touch with the spirits of the great men that
right.
were part of the creation of the republic, and then he comes out to the light. And this is like symbolic revered, and it's in many initiations of secret societies like the Masons. You have to face the death, the Negrito, to start this hermetic path.
Yeah.
And this is done because these things are so encrypted. They're so complicated. They're everywhere. Because one of the hermetic tradition is that they put everything in plain sight.
Mm.
But not everybody is able to encrypt what all this knowledge.
Yeah.
So the people that wanted to become alchemists, that were looking for the eternal life, the stone, the elixir, and the things you have achieved, they all did this initiation. And like Flamel, he went to the Cemetery of the Innocents.
Yeah.
And then from the place we were staying in, that now it's the Port de Saint-Denis, they will follow the ley line to the Santiago de Compostela.
In Spain.
Yeah. But on the path, there were a lot of Templar cathedrals. And all these recipes and philosophy of the hermetics was put in the environment in plain sight.
Yeah.
But it was really so complicated. If you try to read the grimoire or a alchemy book, it's impossible to decipher. And when Nicolas Flamel was a teenager, he had a dream in which an angel showed him a book. And it was a book with many pictures. And when he was grown up, somebody sold that book to him. It was like very cheap. He just paid a few coins.
That was South Africa. Wait a minute. No, it wasn't. Get you one day. Maybe next week. I'm gonna meet ya. I'm gonna meet ya. I'll meet ya.
All participants are now
I'm muting
muted.
Everybody to see where it's coming from. That you, Carolyn? Are you playing something? I'm gonna meet ya. I'll meet ya. Could it be coming from me? One way. I'm gonna find ya. I'm gonna get you one day. Maybe next week. I'm gonna meet ya. I'm gonna meet ya.
Someone's just hacking.
It looks like a hacking from another level. Because, like that person did. That's where Bill has to come in. What do you say, Bill? Is that something that's not in our circuit here? It's Buzz Bill. Michael says, Ion? Leah goes, ah, ha, ha. What? Kyle says, that's all bullshit, Roxy. Kyle, he ain't going to have any of this stuff, but Kyle's not a regular member. He wouldn't know. He's a Bible guy. So,
well,
I think they've stopped. What do you think, Bill? You know what that was, Bill? How come it kept repeating the same loop? Okay. It was a hack, Roxy. Take it as a compliment. They wanted to show some interworld communication.
We're used to all types of
yes, oddness.
Things going on.
Right. So what were you saying as
yes,
a music?
That Flamel did this walk to Santiago de Compostela because he was very impressed that the book that the angel showed him really existed. So he wanted to understand what was in this book. And he walked all the way to Santiago de Compostela.
From the arch that you stayed, the apartment was right by that arch.
Yes, that's the starting point of the ley line.
Right, right. And you call it the Saint Eustache or Saint something? What was
no,
that?
No, Saint Denis. La
Porte oh, Saint Denis, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you took photographs of it from the apartment when we were in Paris. You were right in front of that. That's the one you picked to stay in. Then we found
yes,
it.
Yes, and many people may say this is all nonsense, but all these things exist in the outer kingdom. Flamel built some things in the cemetery of the Innocents and there in the Cluny Museum because the cemetery of the Innocents was it was so big.
Mm.
There were so many people buried there. When Paris was modernized, they decided to take all the bones into the catacombs.
Right.
And actually, Ion asked us to go to the catacombs, not to the Père Lachaise.
Right.
And I suppose it is because it's the biggest concentration of Negredo, of spirit.
Yeah.
That Ion was like laughing all the time, like, go to the catacombs. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's interesting is that we started with that apartment when you first arrived in Paris, and then we went on a two-week walk through all the major monuments in Paris region. And so we did a short version of the walk to Spain and started
yes,
from the same
like,
spot.
Like Mitterrand and last month.
Yeah.
Macron. And you say, these things are still going on. People that are doing this initiation, this walk from darkness to the light and contacting the spirits. And we learned from Ion that the Louvre is very important because it's where all the history of humans, the major human creations are archived. The collection started with the Mona Lisa,
yeah,
which is also a representation of going from the darkness to the light. And that is why Ion made the joke that the Mona Lisa is Edison.
Yeah, right, right, the light. Now, Kyle says, what about Moses and the Egyptian magicians? Well, that's what you're talking about, is Moses and the Egyptian magicians. Everybody's trying to
yes,
get back.
Yes, and that's why that was one of the arguments that got Giordano Bruno burned, because he dared to say openly things that were known by the church.
Yes.
And, yeah, he thought humanity needed a reformation, and these things should be said openly and known to everybody. And that's why he thought Catherine de' Medici, Henry III, and the IV would understand his ideas and would then make a reservation, the Reformation, and many of his ideas were really implemented by the French monarchy, and that's why we can understand everything Louis XIV, the Sun King, was doing.
Mm.
He was trying to build the solar city that Giordano Bruno was talking about.
Yeah.
And after the French Revolution, one of the reformations that were made was to go back to the Egyptian religion for a while.
Yes.
And under Napoleon, the design of the city of France was a ship with Isis, and they had a big Isis statues in some parks, and there was also a Fountain of Youth, and in the big historical axe in the place of the Bastille, Napoleon put some Egyptian sarcophagus with some bodies of French revolutionaries.
Mm.
And he went to Egypt, brought a lot of objects to the Louvre, because this is, again, the influence of Giordano Bruno. They thought the real revolution will be to go back to the original archetypes, to the original Hermetic knowledge of Hermes Trismegistus.
Mm.
And another big idea of Giordano Bruno was that what you call the satellite conductor,
yeah,
is the magician.
Yeah.
And that men should engage in the natural science he called magic. And there were other, like Campanella and Agrippa, that agreed with that. And in many ways, the leaders, up to now, engage in all these type of hermetic tradition rituals. But I think they got stuck in the Negredo, in the first stage, which is the contacting of the spirits and gaining authority and some knowledge.
This is what Ezra Pound does in the Cantos. He does that part of Homer's Ulysses' journey, where he goes into the underworld on the advice of Circe. So that is not the beginning point in the Homer presentation of Ulysses' Odyssey, but Pound makes it the beginning point, contacting spirits. And he was in London when a lot of people were talking to Blavatsky in the Theosophists, and people were being mediums. So that's the relevance to the vortices. And Wyndham Lewis was listed as attending some of those lectures that the Theosophists were putting on. So that's the more recent use of the Babasi by Ezra Pound. Now, you know, now Joyce makes a lot of mediumship in Finnegan's Wake. It's used a lot throughout the book. So the contact
yes,
with the spirits.
Yes, and all these things